The processional hymn 471, Rejoice in God, Saints, Today and All Days. On this St. Peter's Day, we follow the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The righteous is a blessing. Just as a single human body, there are many limbs and organs, all with different functions, so we who are united with Christ, though many form one body and belong to one another in its limbs and organs, we have gifts allotted to each of us. Almighty God, to whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. Shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord, Lord, heavenly King, the mighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ,
Almighty God, who inspired your Apostle St. Peter to confess Jesus as Christ and Son of the living God, build up your church upon this rock, that in unity and peace it may proclaim one truth and follow one Lord, your Son, our Saviour Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
God our Father, Lord of all the world, we thank you that through your Son you have called us into the fellowship of your universal church. Hear our prayer for your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may be instruments of your love and give to all your servants ordained the needful gifts of grace through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
The epistle is from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. At about that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of guards to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane, when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn 460, we sing verses 1, 2J, and 3. For all your saints in glory. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Luke, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once, while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had got out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to them, "Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked till all night long and have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who serve with him were amazed at the catch of the fish that had been taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Grant, O God, that through the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. St. Matthew, chapter 16, verse 15. But who do you say that I am? We expect the actions of those in public life to match their words. But if we're going to apply these standards to public life, then must we not also apply them to ourselves? Does the way that we personally speak, the way we behave, the way we live our lives match the words we say? But who do you say I am? Asks Jesus. And Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Every Sunday we come to church and we profess the same faith as Peter. We stand and we join in the creed and we recite the words that have been recited by countless generations. But when the people in the outside world look at us, what difference do they see? What evidence is there that words are matched by actions? What evidence is there that our faith has integrity? Peter makes his profession of faith in verses 16 and following. And if we read on to verse 24, we see that Jesus warns that if anyone says what Peter says, then they are going to be expected to live up to what they say. There is no option to say one thing and to do another. If what you do doesn't match what you say, then you don't get on the team. Verse 24 says, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's a fairly clear and unmistakable statement. No option there to be a Christian on a Sunday morning and do what we like the rest of the time. Claiming to be Christians, saying to Jesus, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, must mean accepting that he must come first, regardless of whatever priorities we might have ourselves. If our life is centered on God, then all our priorities will be the right priorities. We will get a right perspective on things and live our life to its full potential. Jesus makes no promise to the disciples that everything will always go well or that life will always be easy. Acknowledging him as the Messiah is not a magic formula that will make all our troubles go away. The teaching that being a Christian can mean expecting to become rich and successful is simply not found in the teaching of Jesus. The prosperity theology taught by some of the new churches, the preaching that believing in God will make you wealthy, is not something you will find in the New Testament. All of us know that doing the Christian thing is sometimes the hardest choice. Jesus' promise is not about wealth or success. It's about choosing the way of doing things that is right for our long-term welfare. It is about choosing a way where life has a direction and a purpose, and where it does not end at a gravesite. What Jesus promises to Peter is the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What better offer can anyone ever receive? Yet, given the best offer there is, how often do we still make other choices? When the best is on offer to us, it doesn't make sense to choose anything else, but we do. How often do our actions match our words? How many of us can honestly put our hands on our hearts and say that our faith is at the top of our list? Do the things that Jesus asks of us really take first place in our thinking? Being honest, aren't we at least sometimes very lukewarm? There is always something that seems more attractive, something that seems more important, something else we feel that we need to do. Jesus offers the way to the kingdom of heaven, yet we have chosen very different paths. If matters of the soul have been reignited to the point where our social life and all our other considerations take priority over spiritual things, what is the point of having everything, yet losing one soul? But who do you say that I am? Asks Jesus. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Do our lives match the words of Peter? When we look around us, we expect to see integrity. We expect actions that match words. But do we see integrity when we look into our own hearts? When we stand to say the creed, let us think about our own life in the week ahead. Will our actions match our words? But who do you say that I am? Jesus asks us, you and me, how are we going to answer him? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Celebrate the feast day of St. Peter, we are reminded the importance of faith and prayer in our lives. We pray that Peter's devotion to Jesus and the message of the gospel, despite the challenges and obstacles which he faced, may continue to inspire David, our bishop, and all our church. Lord, in your mercy. As Peter found solutions to differences, were inspired by their faith, may we be alert to the promptings of the Spirit in our own age and be generous in service to our brothers and sisters worldwide who need our care. Lord, in your mercy. For all who are working for understanding and tolerance, particularly in multi-faith communities, may we be guided to take a lead in building bridges of friendship and understanding with other faiths around us. Lord, in your mercy. Cooperation between nations, addressing the causes of conflict, environmental exploitation, and all structural injustices. May we contribute to this momentum by finding joy in the natural beauty that surrounds us and finding peace in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. For this country, as those elected to Parliament mark a year since last year's general election, may all MPs and peers and MLAs be inspired by a thirst for service rather than power. May they have a clear vision of the most unified and compassionate way ahead to address the needs of the most vulnerable amongst us. Lord, in your mercy. For those being confirmed to full membership of the Church this season, may they and their families be upheld by the love and prayers of their church community. Lord, in your mercy. For all who are sick, housebound, or carrying burdens, from our own parish, we pray especially for Val Cunningham, we are also asked to pray for Rini Raphael receiving end-of-life care. May they feel the comfort of the Lord's presence from those who care for them. Lord, in your mercy. We remember those who have recently died and those whose anniversaries fall at this time. We give thanks for the gift of their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that he may evermore dwell in us, and we in us. Amen. We are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, through Christ our Lord, who came and preached peace to those who were far off and those who were near. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
In the offering today, there is a further opportunity of contributing to the bishop's appeal for relief for those suffering in the extended Gaza area. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn 422 in the quiet consecration of this glad communion hour.
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. We follow the First Communion prayer on page 209. At the appropriate time, words of the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. In the saints, you have given us an example of godly living, that, rejoicing in their fellowship, we may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and with them receive the unfading crown of glory. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, is our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed in him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, ever renew the life of your church by the power of this sacrament. Keep us united in your love through the teaching of the apostles and the breaking of bread, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. God give you grace to share the inheritance of Peter and all his saints in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Service next Sunday, the third Sunday after Trinity, parish communion at 10 o'clock. The recessional hymn, 457, Pour Out Thy Spirit from on High. To love and serve the Lord.